Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Curry steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Hello and welcome to what will probably be a relatively optimistic version of the Warriors plus minus podcast. I got Marcus Thompson in the building with me after the Warriors. This is their first blowout win, 139-105. Since, can you remember the last time they had a blowout win?
Utah.
They started the season just whacking teams. Atlanta. I remember when the Hawks came in here, and I was like, this might be the worst team in the league, the way the Hawks were playing. That was like one of the worst halves I've seen, that first half. They blew it. That was November 20th. That was a month and a half ago. They don't have many wins at all over the last month and a half, but they certainly haven't had any dominant wins like this, which I kind of had a feeling they were maybe going to win tonight. I was, you know, at the Sixers-Kings game the night before. It was a deflating loss. You know the Sixers aren't in that good of a place. I've expected the Warriors to probably win tonight, but that was more impressive than I was expecting.
Yeah, this was a very non-Warriors win. Like, they were up 20, then it gets to 12, and every time it feels like they had an answer. And, you know, you keep waiting for that drought to come. You knew they were going to go a stretch for 6 minutes where they can't score. Philly gets back in the game, and then it's another nail-biter. But it never actually happened. And that's a little bit Philly, right? Philly playing them back-to-back. Yeah, they just weren't. They didn't have much pep in their step.
I've been around to just, like, you know, train wrecks in their own ways, the organizations over the last couple weeks, and one is much worse than the other, but I just saw Philly deliver them both get right games. Last night Philly gave up a 15-0 run to the team that couldn't close anybody out, and then tonight they gave up an offensive explosion to a team that had been the worst offensive team in the league for a month running, including 22 threes from the Warriors, 8 of 8 from Steph Curry. But honestly, if you look at this box score, to me, much more important than the 8 of 8 for Steph Curry, you're talking like 4 of 5 from Moses Moody, 3 of 4 from Dennis Schroeder, you know. Even Buddy Hield hit one.
Buddy Hield hit one. Still, he only hit one, right?
Yeah, he only hit one.
Right. So what is that? He was 2 for 23 coming in, so that's 3 for 27. 3 for his last 27. So he's still in the slump. But, I mean, they made shots. Lindy Waters made shots, right?
Yeah.
Kuminga made shots. They definitely looked comfortable against this Philly defense. Few passes got you a good look. Philly wasn't moving well, especially in B. But with that said, they still, like, had to make the shots. And look, earlier in the year when they were 12-3, they had games like this where guys made a lot of shots. When they don't make shots, they aren't very good. But when they do make shots, they're going to be a tough team to beat, because this is what Steph desperately needs, is other people to make shots to punish the defense. So I feel like, in a way, they were due for one of these, but also Philly almost hand-delivered on a platter. They just weren't very good defensively.
I'm writing about kind of the tightening of this rotation, where, you know, we spent the first few weeks being like, wow, what a novel concept, the 12-man NBA rotation. It's never succeeded like this before. And then we spent the next month going like, Steve Kerr is searching. What the heck is this 13-man rotation? I don't know what, you know, you're opening up a different box every night and you have no idea what they're doing. And then it became the criticism of the team, right? deep but not top heavy, and you know he's wagging everybody around, and
rhythm is off.
Yeah. And you know, even if they came to a head, I think a little bit. I remember in the loss in Phoenix when they played 13 guys in the first like 14 minutes, and even Steph said post game, like, probably got to narrow that down. They finally have, and this is like, you know, this was not night one of that. This is night like four or five. But I was interested going into the game. Like, Joel Embiid is in the building. Kevon Looney and Kyle Anderson have been out of the rotation. Kevon Looney has had a really good season. Like, it's not like he's out of the rotation because he's playing poorly, but he's been out of the rotation because Steve Kerr is committed to wanting to play Kuminga off the bench, still start Trayce Jackson-Davis, who gives them something and has been playing well, but really still maximize Kuminga's minutes.
And get Draymond small ball.
Yes, with Draymond small ball. But I'm thinking, hey, this would be a night. You uncork Looney for at least two stints, you know, one per half on Embiid.
Just a body on Embiid. Yeah,
yeah. But he didn't. And I think that is because he's like making a very concerted, Steve Kerr is making a very concerted effort to say, no, this is the nine-man rotation of this moment. And I think it helps, you know, Steph Curry said a postgame, it helps everybody, but particularly helps Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, and I do think Embiid is one of those players who you'd probably better off just staying small anyway. Like, you know, you want him, you could try to match up with him, but the way he moves these days, and like, he's not rotating, he's not helping. Like, he's just kind of staying in the spot.
Yeah, he's like, please just put Kevon Looney out here. Yeah, we can both just park ourselves over here.
He's begging for it. So to me, I like to see it against a different type of big, but you're right. It was a very like committed stance. Yeah, like, he was thinking like, hey, these are our nine guys, like, this is it. And then I see Kyle Anderson and Kevon Looney, these like veterans out there in garbage time, right? Like, they were just like,
yes, I mean, that was weird, but this is the first time all season I can come to the Memphis game, for example, which, by the way, that's really big. Zach Edey, Jaren Jackson. I'm curious to see how that rotation unfolds, but you're going to go into the games this weekend against Memphis and the Kings knowing who is starting. We know who's going to start, and we know Kuminga is going to play 30-ish minutes off the bench. And that's, to me, that's your six core high usage players. And it's the first time I spend most of pregame trying to figure out what the starting lineup is, guessing. Steve's not revealing it. What's Kuminga's role going to be? You know, is he going to be 18 tonight? Is he going to be 30? Like, that at this moment has no longer the case. We know those six are going to play a ton.
Yeah, now it's got to, like, work, right? Some of the players who were saying, let's trim it, let's get more consistent minutes, they need to produce in those minutes, right? Like, tonight was a big night for Dennis Schroeder, who finally had a good offensive game. He made some shots. Like, he looked like the Dennis Schroeder they traded for and what they needed from him. And as you could see, just looking at how they played and how, like, this is exactly what they needed, right? A guy who could make a couple shots, but beat the first man, get into the teeth of the defense, and then pass the ball out and they could whip it. Like, that's what they need. And it can't be Steph because they're just going to double and have the help ready for Steph. So they needed another guy, get in the paint and pass. And he did a really good job at it tonight. When they didn't press on him, he made his threes. And suddenly you're seeing Moses Moody, Lindy Waters, Andrew Wiggins getting open looks. Just because with Philly, all it took was three passes, and you got a good look. So to me,
were you in his post game press conference?
Sure. Who? No, no.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because he prides himself on the ability to kind of mold into every situation. Partly because he's in, you know, year 12 and he's 8, whatever, 10 teams in.
Plus FIBA.
Yeah, plus FIBA, right, where he like runs the German team with the Wagners, and then
by the way.
Yeah, you know. Bench guard for Chris Paul with a Chris Paul Shea Thunder team, bench defender for the LeBron teams, just was running the Brooklyn Nets, you know, entire offense and like succeeding with like a kind of ragtag group, killed the Warriors in here this year. Toronto, he played for, you go early in his career. He's kind of done it all, but he was explaining in his post game press conference. I kind of asked him specifically because he talked about how much of an adjustment this has been. But like, this is a unique, and we know this, but it's interesting to hear him, who prides himself on this, talk about the uniqueness of the Warriors Steph ecosystem, essentially, where it's, you know, he's like, when I throw it in the post, I'm supposed to do split cut action. I'm, you know, there's other various like nuanced rules within the Warriors system that he's trying to like, you know, have his brain figure out. And then the other thing, and Steve mentioned it, and Schroeder did, he's trying to train himself. I don't get the rebound. Like, I don't have to run back to the ball and get it. They're telling him to run the floor. You may get the ball later in the possession and run some pick and roll point, but like, they want him just sprinting the floor. When Kuminga gets a rebound, Kuminga can bring it up. When Draymond gets a rebound, Draymond can bring it up. Obviously, Steph can. And just like, it's game eight, and I think he's starting to like get it a little bit more.
And like, he's overcoming a decade of playing a certain style, right? Like,
differing styles, but yeah, never this style.
Yeah. You know, and you know, his game is pick and roll, right? Like, that's what the reason he cooks in the Olympics is, it's simple basketball, pick and roll. And you come off the screen, you got shooters on the thing, you get the mid-range, you get to the cup, it's very simple.
Let me ask you, though, because, you know, when they traded for him, they spent every press conference talking about, you know, like, BM. We adjust to him.
BM,
yeah. But, like, we should have known. They, player we comes knew. In and adjusts to Steph.
We knew, and we knew. And, you know, I do think the difference is they're starting him with Steph. I think that's a big difference. If he's coming off the bench, like, Kuminga's in that role now where it's like, hey, just when you get the ball, go ISO, pick and roll, ISO, pick and roll. And if you get a good open look from three, take it. If Schroeder's in that role, then I think it probably is just, hey, you go do you. But once you're playing with Steph, now you got to be on planet Steph. To me, it's all fair that he struggled at first. Like, it's all like, that's a reasonable outcome based on what he was trying to do, not just move into a new team, but literally playing a new system. That's why I think tonight was good for him, because, you know, you could tell he felt like, all right, I got that out the way now. It was pretty good tonight.
Yeah, he was like definitely breathing a sigh of relief post game. And, you know, beyond just the encore stuff, like, I know moving cross country, young family, like, he's talked about it, but, like, you know, that's like, mid-season trades really can
be. He's a nice guy, right?
Yeah, very nice
guy. It's not his reputation.
I mean, I do think there's people who have known him since, like, early career Dennis Schroeder who will tell you, like, he's a matured individual, okay, which is like, okay, we all, you know, that's normal, right? He's, you know, into his 30s.
Older. Yeah. It's just funny, the whole, you know, right?
You say, honestly, I'd say that about a lot of guys in the league where, like, you know, you think one thing and, or you're told one thing. I mean, it's the media's fault, but no, you know.
It's all.
You know, like Chris Paul's a good example. I very much enjoyed covering him last year. But, you know, I understand that he does stuff, particularly on the court, that generates a reputation as, you know, whatever word you want to use. But
nice guy. He was ready to talk. He seems a little bit more, like, humble and gracious than I expected, which tells you how much perception matters in this thing. But, you know, this just wasn't his reputation. He's a really nice dude. Like, he just seems, he's like, conversely, Buddy Hield is exactly like you would think he was, right? Like, you know, like Buddy Hield, like, if that's who, he fits the reputation. Loves to have fun, kind of, you know, real, like, rambunctious.
Saying a lot of stuff every time you're in the locker room, but also you can tell, like, is anybody even listening?
Yeah, it's like, it's Buddy. Like, this is the Buddy. This is exactly what I expected. So sometimes it is exactly who you think it is. But, yeah. The other thing, my guy Moses Moody do?
4 or 5 from three.
Seven of his last 9 from three?
Yeah, Steve specifically mentioned tonight part of this, like, you know, evolving strategy from this coaching staff is more shooting on the floor. Okay. And, you know, I understand Moses Moody's percentages have always gone here and then there, and then his minutes are going here and there. Like, so maybe the stats at times throughout his career might not suggest he's as good a shooter as I think we all know, and opposing scouting reports know, like, Moses Moody wide open for three in rhythm is like, that's a shooter you don't want to have take that shot if you're an opponent.
No question. Like, feet set, you know, assisted, in rhythm, like, that's bucket. You feel like that's going down.
And he can get hot for stretch.
No question. And, you know, then the other thing is, like, he can pump fake that thing and get to the rim if you go at him too hard. So, like, yeah, but he had, you know, coming back from injury, he was scuffling a little bit, but 7 out of 9 is pretty good. they kind of need that from Buddy Hield, but I feel like since Moses is giving it to you and Dennis is making shots, there's a little bit more patience available for Buddy. But at some point, they do need Buddy to handle that. Like, he's got to make shots. He's getting, I mean, clean looks. These aren't, like, contested. This isn't like, hey, let's take away Buddy. Like, he's getting feet set. Take your time. Line the laces up, but he's not making them. It's kind of wild, actually.
So let me ask you, because, I mean, Steve, even within the conversation tonight, talking about it, you know, this Titan rotation's working, particularly nine. Nine feels like a really sharp, you know, good NBA rotation number. But he mentioned it. Pajemski's coming back soon. Gary Payton's probably won't be too far behind. Payton, you could kind of keep on a fringe role. It's clear they want Pajemski in the rotation. So you start to wonder, you know, who gets bumped out. I think Lindy Waters is an obvious candidate to, you know, at any point you could put him on the outside and he'll sit there and handle it like Looney or Kyle Anderson is. Moody always is a candidate, Moody's right? But that's kind of what I'm asking is, like, if Pajemski's coming back, but you want to keep this thing tightened, what do you do?
I think Pajemski takes Lindy. And you expand it to 10 for GP2 when you got a guy on the other end who you need to take away. I mean, Tyrese Maxey wasn't like killing you tonight, but to me, that's the role you want GP2 in.
But I will say Dennis Schroeder's defense has nullified the like absolute need to always have Gary Payton. Where like
yeah,
you're right,
need,
you
know, absolutely, yeah.
You, like, there are nights like tonight you could have just kept Gary as a DMP
and didn't need him, yeah. But you get a game where a guy's rolling a little bit, and it's like, or especially the other difficult part is size. Like Maxey, he's not one to just say, all right, I got a smaller guard, let me take advantage of him. Whereas a Anthony Edwards is probably a little bit different, or a Ja Morant. So I do feel like you stretch it to 10 when you need GP2. Like that's how I feel. I just feel like Moody has earned the right to keep playing. Play the man.
I mean, how many times in your
and Kuminga, by the way.
How many times? Oh, I'm about to get to Kuminga. I would have something I would like to ask you, but on Moody, how many times over the course of your Warriors plus minus career do you think you had that same general thought or you know, comment about Moses Moody?
He's been in the league for 4 years, and I'm thinking at least 5 times a year. So I'm gonna go with 20 times.
I'd take the over. I'm probably, yeah, in the over. Like, it's a college football bowl game. I'm like, that's going over.
My over-under tonight went badly, by the way. The Warriors,
what was it again?
They were sitting at 13 threes. And, again, expecting the drought to come. I was like, what? I'm set to over-under.
13 and a half, right?
Yeah, I set it at 5. Like, do they make more?
Could they get to 18?
Yeah, do they make more or less than 5 threes in the second half? And I went under. And they ended up with 22. So, what is it?
22 of 39.
So they hit 9 threes in the second half. Way over my. I was off. I was under. I thought it was going to be a cold second half and struggle in the fourth quarter. And maybe they somehow pull it out by the skin of their teeth. But it ended up being a blowout.
So our last podcast was after Kuminga had 34 against the Suns in a win. And that was his second straight 34-point night. This is at the beginning of this, you know, commitment from Steve Kerr to Jonathan Kuminga. He's not starting, but he is a heavy usage bench player. At this point, he's almost playing like, you know, 18 straight minutes to close each half. And it's kind of, especially that Suns win where he's the best player on the floor. He's guarding KD down the stretch like that. That was one of his best games. Now this is 5 straight really good games. I mean, he was really in control tonight. I mean, you can, if you want, specifically talk about this game. But I'm more curious because that night I did a podcast with Kawakami and Bontemps from ESPN came on. And we, you know, we did a real dense, bigger picture Kuminga, you know, state of where this is going a year forward with the contract and the deadline looming and all that. Where are you at on it? Because, you know, I've delivered kind of my thoughts on it, like, especially this updated version with what they're doing. Like, what are your big picture thoughts on him right now?
Yeah, to me, he's proving, like, how, like, why it's so difficult to think about trading this guy. Like, I mean, it's on this team right now, if you just told a dude before the game, forget the opponent, I don't care, go get me 20 points. Like, Steph could do it. And Kuminga is my second choice to be able to go do it. I mean, I guess you could say Wiggins.
You could say Wiggins, but I also think Wiggins, and we've talked about this, he's at a place in his career where if you're like, hey, Wiggins and Kuminga, which one of you wants to do it tonight? Wiggins would be like, Kuminga, you got this. I'm going to play some defense. I'm going to hit
a couple threes.
I'm going to be open on the wing if, like, you get double.
Yeah, I feel like Kuminga can get it against any defense. Like, now, it's not going to be in the way Steve Kerr likes it in the Warriors system.
Well, let's use the Cleveland game as an example the other night. I mean, I think he went like 4-14 shooting. It was ugly at times. He's going against this monster, like, you know, scouted defense. Remember, he tried to dunk on Evan Mobley in isolation, and it did not go well. But he also got to the line 14 times in that game.
The three pump fake of Mobley. Yeah. I get that. But, you know, I just feel like he has a talent for scoring. He's got the right size for it, physicality, and, you know, say what you want about Steve's message to him. He's head down to the basket, head down to the basket. Like, he's getting there. He's getting to the rim. He's forcing his way to the rim. That little inside-out move is beautiful when he executes it. And tonight,
slow bigs, I cannot, like, George Niang.
He's cooking now.
Mason Plumlee, Ivica Zubac. These are, like, he's developing, well, reputation, whatever. You're seeing him get isolated against bigs more lately in this stretch, and him knowing, like,
I'm getting there. And, you know, he hadn't had a lot of reps at this. So now you got to start envisioning, hey, man, what if he actually starts developing this stuff? Like tonight he hit the front rim on a few mid-rangers, right? He's trying to take that little pull-up free throw line, hit a turnaround.
Don't take it too often or you're back to 18 minutes.
18 minutes, but what if he develops it? Like, you're just starting to see the makings of a player who could go get you 20-25. And if you are in on this whole Steph Curry to win one more championship with Steph and Draymond, you just kind of got to have that. You got to have it. So I understand, like, the whole desire to say go and get a star, and I agree with it. A couple stars I don't think they should go get, but, man, you just got to know, because Kuminga, like, he's showing you something right now. And if you think about this, like, at some point Steph will be gone. And if he spent these next 3 years developing his game and getting opportunities and not getting yanked out, you know what you've been calling for since what, rookie year?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, I've said it, like, you know, you could add up the minutes, but he should probably at this point of his career this is probably conservative. He should have 1,000 more minutes played in the NBA at this point. And, like, he'd probably be a notably better player if he just played 1,000 more NBA minutes. And obviously, you know, we can go back through the seasons, the Anthony Lambs of the world.
But if he gets it now, right? And now you come – now, like, after, you know, Steph is done. Even if, like, Steph is still playing, but it's clear he's not the center of the offense anymore. I mean, that's – I'm not saying Kuminga is, like, an all-NBA type of player yet, but – you could see some of the signs where he would get there, which only means that if you move him, you kind of need to know what you're getting. Like, you can't.
Well, okay, Cam Johnson's a very good example of a very obviously available, but, you know, Brooklyn's at this point keeping a steep price. Now, again, they've kind of been more in search of picks, but a guy like Kuminga, you would think, would interest a team like Brooklyn, depending on what they think about him, as far as, you know, like, they have a lot of cap space this summer, and that would scare a lot of teams with Kuminga, but maybe it wouldn't with Brooklyn. Like, you know, would you be willing for, you know, Cam Johnson's a more polished, like, simpler fit, older player.
He can't go get you 20. Cam Johnson can't go get 20 when he wants to. Like, I think they need that. And unless you're saying, give me Cam Johnson and another star player, all right, then I'm talking about it. But Ben Simmons. I just think that's a massive, massive hole to not have a number two star in a league that's spread out and everybody can go off the dribble, everybody can shoot, and a lot of teams are playing five out. You got to have – there's a reason Brooklyn isn't winning, right? You got to have players who can do that. You have one in Kuminga. Just develop him. Or – if you're getting somebody who's for sure getting you 25 a night, I'll hear it. But I don't know if I'm doing it for Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson's good. He ain't that good.
Anything else from this game, or, you know, any other avenues on the Kuminga conversation that is just perpetual at this point? It's every night.
But for Vucevic,
no, I was playing.
I mean, we can talk Vucevic. I do sense an interest in Vucevic internally.
I don't know if, but that's a little bit easier fit. Because you can,
also,
you,
by the way, Jonathan Kuminga would not be in that deal.
Absolutely, you can keep Kuminga on that one. So yeah, I wouldn't give up Vucevic for Kuminga for anybody who didn't catch the sarcasm. But they do need another piece, though. They do need another piece. They do need another player. I mean, let's not get gassed by 22 threes. They still have some problems, and clearly, this wasn't a formidable defense. But to me, the formula at this point is Steph needs to get 30. He needs to get 30 to unlock it for everyone else. He needs to be that much of a threat.
He needs to go 8 of 8 from 3 on a regular base.
But he needs to get 30. Like, he needs to be aiming for 30. What he does to a defense when he's going for 30 is way different than using him as a decoy and letting other people just create. So the difficult part is when you get a better defensive team that's keyed on him, how does he get the 30, right? Like, so Philly, to me, isn't a good barometer to say they've turned a corner.
Memphis coming in, Miami
that's
coming in.
That's a good barometer, Memphis, because they can get in you. Yeah. Memphis plays some defense, even without Ja.
Yeah. They probably play better defense without Ja. They just don't score as much. Yeah. Anything else on this team right now?
Draymond was great, by the way.
One block. It felt like it was like a moment. It was like early third, I believe, where Caleb Martin's coming baseline. The Sixers had cut it to 15, which at the time felt like, oh, down to 15. And Caleb Martin looked like he had an easy lane. He pump faked somebody, maybe Wiggins, fly by. And I thought, oh, it's going to be down to 13. It's like timeout time for the Warriors right here. And Draymond came out of nowhere, blocked the shot. And then Steph hit a three within 10 seconds, and it was 18. And I think Philly might have been calling a timeout. And that, to me, felt like the end of the game.
Yeah, Draymond, he sneaks so many people with his wingspan.
He can't even jump anymore. You know? Really.
But his arms are so long that if you don't account for it, like, he's going to block the shot. It's funny. People still try him. It's like, he's going to block that. He's going to get there. It was like he was massive tonight. He wasn't chucking the ball all over the place. He was pretty under control with it. They moved the ball really well. Look, again, this was Philly's defense.
But you could tell early they had juice and they had zip to the offense. And, like, you're right. Like, Philly helped with that. But they just had a different look to them.
Yes. I do think that getting under 500 feels like this thing they don't want to do. Yeah. Right? So every time they've got to this point, they seem to put together one of these games where it's like, uh-oh. Here we go. They don't want to look at the record and see under 500. So they were like, Draymond was great tonight, especially against Embiid. And he had the legs. Not how many days? 2 days off? One day off,
and then a back to back. Steph's not been playing back to back. So you sit him for Memphis or you sit him for the surging Kings?
Memphis.
Sit him in Memphis? Because you're always of the thought of, like, go get the more guaranteed win.
Yeah. Plus, like, style of play, Memphis is very brutal. Sure. They got Vince chasing them around. And, like, they've got that type of team that makes it tough. Nobody wants to play Memphis right now the way they're kind of hungry about it.
And they love playing the Warriors,
too. Oh, they love it. Taylor Jenkins never coaches better than when he's playing the Warriors.
I'd argue he coached pretty bad a second round series a couple years ago.
Yeah, since then, probably. I don't know. He's more concerned about codes than he is coaching.
It's a good one. Good one. Okay. Well, we'll talk to you some point during that back-to-back. Maybe both games that back-to-back. Maybe I can grab somebody. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's Nate Duncan. NFL season, I mean, I understand that the Niners actually have a game this weekend, but, like, NFL season's kind of over. I don't know.
Is it a game?
Who's playing quarterback?
It ain't Purdy. If you're Purdy, do you try to play to get some of that money back, or do you end the season on a game-losing interception?
I don't think he could really do much this weekend to, like, change the negotiations.
Yeah, you're probably right. Still, it's a tough way to end the season. The last remember when we saw is you couldn't get us a win. Yeah, you're right. Probably $60 million's gone.
Is it?
Yeah, no, it's gone. Well, from the 49ers anyway. It'd be crazy to give him $60 million. Get out of here. He's not making Lamar Jackson money.
Yeah, 60 too steep, but 50.
35.
Kuminga or Brock Purdy, who has a bigger salary next season?
Kuminga.
I would take the Purdy. Just it's quarterback. It's NFL. Right. It's
get out of here. Right. With the 49ers or Purdy somewhere else?
Their salary. I don't know. I'm certainly not knowing.
I mean, go get 60 from somewhere. I'm sure there's a bunch of teams who'd be like, hey, I'll take Purdy.
A bunch.
There's a few teams, but yeah. I mean, the 49ers play like they penny pinch with Trent Williams here and Brandon Ayuk. They're not just about to roll over and get his
quarterback's different.
It is, but why they didn't give Jimmy Garoppolo that kind of money either.
Good choice. Although I think he's starting.
He's starting for the rest.
There's some like Carson Wentz is starting for the Chiefs this weekend. It's
everybody wants to be the next Sam Darnold now.
The last week in the NFL is just a dark place.
Yeah, brutal. Yeah. Should I go to that game or should I no?
Or Kings Warriors here. Want to see Doug Christie
tough
coach?
Call. Tough call, baby.
See Doug Christie after the.
I just want to see. You think Vivek shows up here?
Yeah, I do. He's, you know, he was pumped. They won the last night. And did you see what Doug Christie did post game?
No, what did he do?
Instead of like the normal post game, like, you know, locker room, let's bring it together, he had made the whole team go up to the roof of the arena and go to the beam on the roof of the arena and did his like post game speech next to the beam.
Let's see how long that lasts.
We will talk to you this weekend.